This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Today on Keeping the Faith, we're going to be talking with three guests about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Illinois. It's also a service found around the country, and we'll be learning more about that in just a few minutes. But let me first of all remind folks that Ramadan began yesterday, and for all of our Muslim friends, have a good Ramadan. For those of you who may not know about that Islamic practice, it's a month-long time of fasting during daylight hours, including even giving up water. So Muslims around the world are doing that this month, and so we wish them all a good spiritual experience. Well, let's get to our program today. We have three guests in the studio with us. Kathleen Holden, who is the director of the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, fondly known as OLLI, O-L-L-I. And Debbie Day, who is the chair of the board for OLLI here locally. And Dave Sharp, who will be talking about his experience taking some of these courses that are offered here at the University of Illinois. Debbie, let's start with you. Now, how much are you paid for being the board chair of OLLI?
They are not monetary payments, Steve, but wonderful benefits from being involved. It has been a tremendous experience, and it began right as I was retiring. So that was just a perfect fit for me to continue to be involved, but in different ways.
And the Lifelong Learning Institute is for people who are retired, for people who
don't
are
have
50,
to be retired. No, 50, it's simply
50
plus. 50 plus.
You have to be
right.
At least 50. You have to reach a certain age.
As a maturity.
Yes, that's
there.
Right.
Right.
So you had retired, though.
Yes.
And how did you hear about OLLI?
Several friends who were, I think at that point, just talking about the idea of OLLI with Kathleen told me about it, and I said immediately, that's something I hope I can be involved with.
What was the first course you took?
That is, you know, I didn't take a course the very first offering because I was traveling right after I retired. And, you know, I just wrote all that down. And let me see, because I've taken so many courses.
Have you already?
Yes. Well, one was a film course, very, very popular. Every semester there has been a film course, and it was Hitchcock's America. And the
you
other,
actually see films as well as talk about them?
Yes, okay. Definitely. You see the film, and then Pat Gill, who was a fabulous instructor and gets everyone very excited about it, then we discuss the film. And the other one was the history of early Illinois from the glacial age right up to the American Revolutionary War. Very different courses.
Okay. Now, what does the board of directors do for OLLI?
We are the, really, I would say, the ears of the membership and then translating member interests and so on, because OLLI really is a member-driven, member-led organization like none other that I've ever belonged to.
They do tell me what to do.
Uh-huh. We do. And Kathleen's very good at taking instruction, Kathleen.
So these are community people who
these
all volunteer. And
all
taken,
members.
They've taken classes themselves.
Absolutely.
They've signed up. To be a member, it does cost a bit, but not very much. Kathleen, tell us about that. What are the requirements for membership?
It's $125 a year for the first member of the household and $100 for the second. And for that, they get one free course and several other benefits. And then every other course is $25.
Okay. And a course typically is how long?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
As Debbie indicated, huge range of topics, art, history, science, just...
Don't forget religion.
Religion.
Oh, religion.
I
oh, my gosh.
Don't you think we should mention, Kathleen, that Steve has been an instructor of an absolutely wonderful course.
He was, and it was one of our most popular ones. In fact, the membership then, the curriculum committee said, can we please have him back? And so I wrote to him and said, you were very popular. We do course evaluations, as a matter of fact, for every course that we take. Because we want to keep the quality high. And I said, Steve, your evaluations were over the top. Would you consider teaching another course? And so he wrote back and said, well, as a semi-popular faculty member, perhaps I could teach Great Religions.
Because, of course, what I remembered were the three or four very negative comments on my course. So
there were not three or four.
Was it five or six?
We should ask Dave to get in on this because he was in that class.
Yeah, well, Dave Sharp, you were you kindly served as a host for that class on Islam that I taught. And I didn't really teach it so much as I coordinated it. We were very fortunate to have seven or eight people who came and volunteered their time for an hour and talked about various perspectives on Islam, and. You helped me with setting that course, getting that course through those 8 weeks. So I do thank you for that.
You're welcome. I was your class host, yes.
But you also took the class.
I was taking the class and enjoying it, and especially enjoying the give and take between the students in the class, if we are students, I'm not sure.
Scholars.
Yeah. Ali scholars. Yeah. And your guests.
Yes. The discussions were fascinating.
Great.
They really were. Now, how did you first hear about Ali?
Well, my wife and I moved here in the summer of 2007. And shortly after we arrived, our neighbor, Barbara, came, gave us a call, and brought a loaf of bread and a flyer for Ali. And I think that was before there was a brochure.
Really?
No. It was a very simple flyer. We enjoyed the bread. It was great. And we've been enjoying Ali ever since. So it was food for the body and food for the mind.
What a great neighbor. Now, where did you move from?
From Carbondale. I'd been a faculty at SIU for 30 years.
What did you teach?
I was in geography, taught climate, physical geography, environmental modeling.
So you retired from one university town, and why did you move to another?
That's one of the criteria for moving for us. The other is to have a granddaughter here, and so we've moved here for that purpose. But it's been a great move for a variety of reasons.
How old is your granddaughter? Did you bring any pictures?
Unfortunately, this is radio, not TV.
But it's theater of the mind.
Yes.
Well, I do have in my pocket on my iPhone not only the public radio app so I could hear WILL while I was traveling the last month, but I also have on my little iPhone videos now of my granddaughter and grandson that I'll be happy to play. And
Well, if we're going to talk about grandchildren, you guys, I have five,
I can top that. I have eight.
Oh, Debbie.
But I don't think that's really what we're here to talk about.
But isn't it? It does say something about the age of people who do get involved in these programs. And there are people who travel. There are people who have grandchildren they want to see often. And there are people who still want to learn. Isn't that interesting?
One of the things I think we should really emphasize is that this is not just a program for university people. We're told that there's among some people out there, there's a sense that perhaps this is just for retired professors. And it absolutely is not. It's for everybody. We've got people who have high school and perhaps no high school education and people who are retired faculty. But what they have in common is they love to learn.
Yes.
And they support one another in that. And so I did want to say that because it's so important that it not be seen as a program just for university people.
And when Bernard Osher, the O of Ali, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, when he came up with this idea and first started selling it, who did he think the audience would be?
Just people who love to learn.
Okay.
He felt that the traditional lifelong learning programs had shortchanged older adults, that that older adults really wanted intellectually stimulating courses. They wanted to tell the staff what those courses should be. They didn't want to have to do tests or grades anymore. They were done with that.
Sharp papers.
No
essays.
And they wanted to do it in a community of like-minded people who enjoyed learning. And as I look at the 3 years of our program, he truly was a visionary, is a visionary.
Now, as you say, this program has begun here at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign just 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But when did the whole idea begin?
He funded his first program in 1999. So it's not that old.
Where did it start?
The University of Northern Maine.
Huh.
That's where he's from. And then he lives in San Francisco, so the majority of the early ones were California schools.
Interesting.
And now they're at 120 universities across the country, colleges and universities.
Others in Illinois?
Yep, Bradley and Northwestern.
Do you happen to know Indiana, since our listenership goes all the way to Indianapolis?
Oh, what a good question. Yes, there is one in Terre Haute at Indiana State.
Huh, good. And, of course, we know our listeners are listening on podcasts, they're listening live on computers, they're listening, as I mentioned earlier, on their little iPhones and other things like that. So if you're curious about this, simply go online to Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, probably.
Actually,
or through Google or Yahoo or something.
If they Google Ollie at Illinois, that'll pull it up.
Okay.
But it's OLLI.Illinois.edu. Right.
Okay. Let me repeat that. So on your computer, if you're searching for these kinds of programs anywhere in the country, OLLI.Illinois.edu, and then you can find there links to where these mm-hmm. programs are mm-hmm. around the country.
Or they could call us, too.
Well, that's
right
true. And let me do give the phone numbers here, although we don't have all those answers at our fingertips here. But we are eager to have people join in this conversation. Perhaps you've taken a course at this Ollie Institute, and whether you liked it or not, do give us a call. 333-9455 is the local number. If it's long distance, do use a free, toll-free call, 1-800-222-9455. So in Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. Elsewhere, 1-800-222-9455. And we're happy to have listeners who are listening online as well. So comments, questions are welcome throughout this hour while we're talking with our guests. Debbie, let me go back to you. What kinds of issues are brought up at the board of directors meetings that you're chair of?
I would say actually in many ways the real work the real work happens in committees, and then this comes back to the board. And if there are decisions to be made, then the board gets involved. But there is a very active curriculum committee, and those are the folks that actually bring the ideas for courses to the committee and suggest to Kathleen people even who might be good at teaching them and so on. So the curriculum committee is very active. There is a membership committee which also is involved in getting the word out about what's going on at Ollie. There is a volunteerism committee that looks at different kinds of opportunities for volunteering in the community and brings those to the attention of the members.
So let me follow up on that just for
sure.
A moment. So people not only take courses at Ollie, long,
meet
week, and short, but they can learn through Ollie ways to get involved in other things in the community.
That's right. It's almost a clearinghouse of opportunities. But the thing that I just want to mention when we're talking about committees is I think in many organizations it's difficult to get people to serve on committees. And the experience at Ollie is people practically line up to be on committees. And this is a group of people who really, really love the organization and really want to be involved, they want to help, and we almost never have someone say no when we ask for volunteers.
We know we're doing something useful.
Well, let me ask a critical question, though. I mean, we're all fans of Ali, and I have admitted I've even taught one course and agreed to teach another. But let me ask a critical question. Surely in 3 years there have been disagreements and arguments about should we have this instructor, should we have this course, how can we get rid of this person? Hasn't there been something unpleasant?
You know, that's really an interesting point, because it's surprising to me that there has been so little controversy. People are so supportive of one another and of what we're doing. The one thing that that is troubling to the members, and the curriculum committee has talked about this, and I think the board has as well, is that some of our courses are so popular that people can't get into them after a certain point. And so we've had suggestions that we have the classes in a larger venue. Uh-huh. And the curriculum committee has decided so far that that would interfere with the community building, with the discussion potential in the class.
So currently your largest size is what?
Is 60.
60 people.
And as you probably could tell, Steve, from the course that you taught, something larger than that is going to inhibit people's willingness to have discussion. And so they've kept it at 60. That may change. I mean, Ollie is an experiment. When we started, we didn't have study groups. We didn't have lunchtime lectures. We didn't have a travel program. And all of those have been added because that's what the members wanted. So, you know, we might have a larger class. I don't know. That's one of the things that we'll struggle with. But again, to repeat, the thing that has been most heartwarming to me is to see the way Ollie members support one another in their learning. It's just a great group of people.
Now, startup money for this program came from the Bernard Osher Foundation for these 125 programs around the country. But tell us how that's structured, because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he gives $100,000 a year for 4 years. He expects the host institution to provide support as well, and ours does. And if you do what he wants you to do, which is to offer good courses and to be member-driven and to have a certain number of members, and for him, the threshold is 500 members, then you are eligible to apply for $1 million endowment. When we submitted our fourth year request this year, he likes what we're doing, and he asked us to submit the $1 million endowment proposal, which we will do by January 18th. That's the deadline. That's when he wants it.
And it's not guaranteed you'll get it, even though you have the 500 members.
Yeah, well, no, it's not guaranteed, but we certainly have every indication that we're doing all the things that are right.
Okay. And you say the university provides some sort of a match. What does that consist of?
The university provides space. We are in the research park, as you know. So our members own the space. They can come in anytime they want, so there's a resource room. We have a Starbucks dispensing machine.
Coffee.
Thanks to Peter Fox. There's free parking. So it's a very comfortable place for people to come.
What's the address?
2021 South First Street. It's in the Yahoo/John Deere building on the second floor. So the university provides that space for us very generously. It's made a huge difference in our program success.
I think it really has, having a home.
It's a great location.
Yeah, and it's all in one place, and the classes are all there. Unlike a lot of lifelong learning programs where you go to a class in one building and then maybe, you know, sometime later in a different building. This really brings people together in one location. So it is creating a community feeling about it.
And our offices are there. Mm-hmm. So people can talk to us at any time about any problems, which I think perhaps now that I think of it, maybe one of the reasons that we haven't had a lot of dissension, because if anything bothers someone, they can come and talk to us right away, and we can
or email or call. It's mm-hmm. very yeah. convenient.
Yeah. Right. I should also mention that the university provides some support for our office manager and our community outreach specialist. So that's We are very grateful for that. We
yes,
could
indeed.
Not. Yeah, we couldn't be functioning without them.
Tell us who those people are.
Our office manager is Brenda DeVille, and our community outreach specialist is Janet Summers. It's a great team.
And Kathleen Holden, who is speaking, is the director of OLLI and has been from the start. And we're also having our studio today, Debbie Day, who's chair of the board of, you call it board of directors?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, board of directors. And Dave Sharp, who started taking courses and liked it and has just
jumped
had some experiences. What was the first course you took, Dave?
Well, in the, none in the fall of 2007. Four in the spring of 2008.
Hard
four
to choose.
And I've
four
had to courses. Be I've had to be reined in. The same as mm-hmm. Debbie, the course on early Illinois. There's a Tai Chi course as well, and I've took that first in the spring of 2008 and have been taking that as a course ever since. It's Tai Chi to your health, so it fits right in with Ollie's perspective.
Who teaches that?
Mike Reed and David Scadden and Alethea Taylor, all of whom are certified teachers for Tai Chi.
I see.
And then all that jazz and more. I guess all that jazz was in fall of 2007, and it came back as and more in 2008.
And it's
and
coming
that's
back
by
again,
Sam Reese.
Right?
And,
mm-hmm.
and who taught all that jazz?
Sam Reese, mm-hmm. Department of Music, fine instructor.
So when you want to sign up to a course, you said you were reined in. Did someone say, no, you're taking too many? Was that your spouse? Was that your spouse? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Partially.
Has she taken courses too?
Oh, yes. We take courses together.
Uh-huh.
The courses by Pat Gill, dealing with films especially. And then she goes off and deals with such courses as landscaping patios in small spaces while I go off to matter, energy, and the universe.
Interesting.
So we do some things together and others separately. But you could spend the entire week.
Yes, you could.
At,
and there are a few
South
people
First.
Who do.
And that's the hazard as well, I think.
Even though we have good representation here in the studio, let me get the phone numbers again in case people who've taken OLLI courses would like to share their experience. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana is a local call. There are several local lines that'll give you access to, and our good engineer, Kyle Crow, will put you in a queue to get on the air. And the names of the people here are easy to remember, Dave, Debbie, Kathleen, and I'm Steve. So do give us a call. If it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455. Let's talk a little bit about some of these other kinds of programs besides the 8-week classes. Kathleen, earlier you mentioned study groups. What are those?
They're between 10 and 20 people. There are a number of one thing I did sort of mention that this is an experimental sort of thing and member driven. After the first semester, people said, we'd kind of like to. Some Ollies have study groups. We would like to do that too, and so we. We did. We had, I think, three in the first. And then we realized that, we need to have the same kind of structure around our study groups that, excuse me, that we do around the courses. And so we have a study group subcommittee of the curriculum committee, and they take proposals and they review them. They evaluate the study groups. We've had things on the New Yorker magazine, what to listen for in music. We've had poetry. We've had not-so-classic Westerns, which was an outgrowth of the course that Pat Gill taught on classic Westerns. And one of the members that took that course decided that he would like to lead a little group on not-so-classic Westerns, and so...
Was Duel in the Sun classic or not-so-classic?
You know, I don't remember.
With Gregory Peck as the bad guy.
But I can tell you that Blazing Saddles was not so classic. And my office is in the complex there with the class. And I can tell you they were laughing way too much. The study groups, I can hear them from my office, and they really do have a good time.
And some others?
A discussion of America's role in the world. That was... an interesting one.
Some very serious study groups.
Yes.
Now, are these led by anybody, or are they just a group who gather around that topic or a book or a film or whatever?
The process is we get a proposal. It is vetted by the subcommittee, the study group subcommittee. They take it to curriculum. Curriculum says yay or nay. And then they put a sheet out in the resource room, and people can sign up.
Up to a certain number.
Up to 20, yeah. Okay. Oh, I forgot one of our more popular ones was the great book series, The Seven Deadly Sins. In fact, we had to break out into two study groups for that. There were so many. And they laughed a lot, too.
I won't quiz you, even though this is a program on religion, to name the seven deadly sins.
You could actually address that, couldn't you?
Although WASP leg is the acronym.
Is it? Thank you.
WASP leg.
I'm writing that down, Steve.
Okay.
We'll let listeners respond.
You know, we don't have tests or grades in Ollie, so.
And the study groups really provide the opportunity for much more give and take than can happen if you have a classroom of 60 in a more formal course structure, although there always are opportunities for discussion, but they're more limited in our regular courses. And the study groups also are positioned between our two, our spring and our winter course setup. So it kind of provides the people who really want to just keep going with the connection before we begin our next semester.
And there are some members who specialize in taking courses and others who prefer to deal with study groups.
And what about
so
the
it
lunch
plays to both interests?
What about the lunchtime lectures? How did they come about and what are they like?
Same kind of thing. The members said we want to keep learning during this intercession period. Some of them don't want to commit to a study group because they don't want to do it for that long. And so we started lunchtime lectures. And those have been extremely popular.
Very popular. Yeah.
Debbie, could you tell us what a few of them have been?
You got your list. You know, I have been to so many of these, and it's so easy to have them just kind of, after a while, slip away. So I am going to refer to the list. But interestingly, we have one coming up that's called Europe's Heartland. And what it is a summary of the course that Dave and I took last spring, which was in much more detail about the history of the Palatinate in Germany. Mm. But there's a follow-up course being offered in the fall, which does happen every now and then. We have a topic that just can't be happening just in 8 weeks, and so there's another course developed out of it. This is to bring people up to date who may not have taken the first course, or people who might be interested in signing up. I'm doing a segue here into our first travel program, which is a trip to that area, the Palatinate, next the end of May and early June.
And where is that?
And that is in Germany, a very historically rich and also, I might add, rich in vineyards and castles called Castles and Wine, but a tour of that area.
And
that's our first
that tour
travel. The end of May. And
next
it's what, 8 days, Kathleen? Is that right?
May 25th to June the 3rd. Mm-hmm.
2010. Mm-hmm. This is a live program. Sometimes people hear this on archive, so it helps to say the year.
Good. Okay. But that is our first foreign travel program coming out of a course.
Yep. And it will be the instructor of the course will accompany us. And so he will give us lectures on the bus as well as in the fall.
You sound like you might be going on this.
You bet.
And so am I.
And so is Debbie.
We're very excited about it. But you did, I'd rather got away from what you asked me.
On the lunchtime lectures.
Lunchtime,
so do
right.
people bring their own lunch? Is there food service provided? What?
Box lunches, you can order ahead.
You can order ahead, okay.
Or just come. Bring your own lunch. It's very casual.
Who caters your box lunches?
Classic Events.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're wonderful. But here are just a few, Steve, since you asked specifically. A focus on women and aging. We had a big group, and not just women, who came to that. Biofuels, a case study. Ron Yates, the former dean of the College of Media, did a wonderful program on the fall of Saigon, thwarting the attack, what you need to know about personal safety. They're all they just range, again, just like the courses, there's just a huge range. And often this is an opportunity. Someone gives an outstanding lecture, and out of that comes a proposal for a course.
For others.
So it's all kind of evolving all the time. It's evolving.
We're about halfway through our program today here on Keeping the Faith with our guests Dave Sharp, Debbie Day, and Kathleen Holden talking about OLLI, O-L-L-I, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. If you'd like to learn more, go online to olli.illinois.edu. This is Keeping the Faith. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these programs. Next week, I'll be talking with an author, Warren Cole Smith, about his recent book that's created a little bit of a stir, called A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church. Warren Cole Smith is himself an evangelical Christian, but he's written an interestingly critical book, and so that should be a fun topic. The week after, I should say later in September, Bob Cathy, professor from a seminary in Chicago, will be talking about Christianity from a post-liberal perspective. Also in September, Ed Scherner, the director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, will be our guest. That'll be September 20th. And that's particularly interesting for because of some of the local issues here in Champaign-Urbana, as well as in other communities, about the difficulties that the homeless are finding in the current economic downturn, finding resources, finding ways to sleep in something other than on somebody's front yard in a tent or in a welcoming church. So that'll be September 20 with Ed Scherner, director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless. Religion writer Bill Timaeus and a rabbi friend of his will be our guest by phone October 4th, talking about their new book, They Were Just People, Stories of Rescue in Poland During the Holocaust, How Jews Were Rescued by Supportive People of Other Faiths in Poland. So those are some of the programs coming up here on Keeping the Faith, AM 580, a listener-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And again, people can hear these programs. They're archived at will.illinois.edu. You then click on AM and look for Keeping the Faith. You can see various programs listed there, or if you remember a keyword or a name like Holden or Day or Sharp, you can put that in the search engine and you'll find that program. So let's get back to our guest today. We're talking about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. I might talk a little bit just about my experience teaching one course. I mentioned I kind of coordinated it, and it was a lot of fun to religion is my academic field, and I've taught courses at the University of Illinois as well as Parkland College in the religious studies departments there. And it was certainly fun to teach undergraduates at Illinois and at a community college, people of all ages. But I think the most fun I've ever had teaching was at OLLI because, yes, everybody was over 50, but, my, the spread of of information and knowledge and questions and personal experiences that people could share. And the class just, it was kind of the right size, and there were, you know, close to 60 people there, but I'd bring in a guest who represented perhaps something entirely new to most of those people in this class on Islam. And people would say, they were very respectful, they were very appreciative of these people coming to expose their religious beliefs and practices that they knew were in a, to people who were not themselves Muslim. But they asked very good questions, and the discussion was just exciting. And often, well, I think every time, we had to just cut off discussion and say, sorry, we're out of time, and we've got to stop. And
that happens in a lot of courses.
Yeah, but it was an exciting experience to be a coordinator, to be a faculty person for that class. And I might just say, Ali does pay something, an honorarium, to the teachers of these 8-week courses. Now, I did donate mine partially to the local mosque because that's where the guests came who helped with my course, and partly to the University Y, which is where the Muslims met for many years there and at McKinley Foundation later before they built the mosque on Lincoln Avenue. So I thought that might be those might be appropriate places to donate that money. But it is you have to plan carefully for these classes because there are a lot of bright people in them.
Yes.
And so I think an honorarium is appropriate.
Good.
You want to talk a little bit about that? That was part of Osher's idea originally, wasn't it, to pay the faculty something for the 8-week courses?
Actually, it ranges.
Does it?
Some Ollies don't pay any of their instructors.
Really?
When we started here in 2006, we used that year to plan, and it was our feeling that in this environment, in this university community, we wanted to acknowledge that the faculty really are doing us a favor. We can't afford to pay them what they're worth, but an honorarium seemed right, and it has been successful. And some of the faculty, like you, Steve, donate in one way or another. Some we give it to the department, and the students they use it for their graduate students. But what you said about your class, I have heard from every single faculty member, and that is, this is such fun to teach interesting people who bring their life experiences into the classroom. It's as much fun for the faculty members as it is for the students, and so it's really fun to watch that develop over the course of the 8 weeks. I should mention that Dave Sharp led a study group. I was looking down the list, Dave, and realized that you and Kathleen did the carbon footprint.
That's right. Many of the study groups are spin-offs from courses. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the not-so-classic Westerns, and we're going to have in the spring probably another study group on law, on films, movies that relate to the law. Because the person who will coordinate that is a lawyer and has been a judge, retired. Ours that was entitled Your Carbon Footprint Going from Size 12E to 6B was a derivative of a course that Professor Weibel taught on global climate change. And he taught it in one of the 8-week periods, and we followed up with that study group.
We're down to about our last 20 minutes of Keeping the Faith this afternoon, talking about the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Illinois and 124 other universities around the country. Let me encourage listeners to give us a call, 333-9455. We'll get you on into our local lines. Or 1-800-222-9455. We do have a couple callers. Let's go to line number one. Yes, you're on the air.
I've got a couple of questions, please.
Sure.
I was looking at your website recently. I couldn't see the selections for fall 09, so I was curious about that. Boy, that King Tut exhibit looks pretty tempting. And then I wondered, you spoke at the beginning that it was not specifically for, obviously, university retirees, but I'm wondering if you do have fairly wide community-based participation, or it tends to be from three or four basic social communities. I'm just going to hang up and listen. This has really been fun and interesting. Thanks so much.
My impression, yes, both in courses and in study groups, is that the minority are retired faculty from this university, or as in my case, from another university. People from the community who have had a variety of business and life experiences. And in fact, that's what we want to see in Ali. That's what makes it so great.
I'm sorry that that you couldn't find the fall 09 courses. They are there.
I just looked at them this afternoon, as a matter of fact.
But you know what? If there's a problem, you could call at 244-9141 and give Brenda your address, and we would be happy to send the course catalog out to you. Or you can drop in and pick it up. We'd be happy to give it to you and visit and give you a tour of the classrooms and all that good stuff. So
again, the phone number is 217-244-9141 for Ali during the week, regular business hours. And again, to try the website, ali.illinois.edu. And then where do they click to see the classes for 09?
There's two ways to get there. On the left-hand side, there is a I don't know what you call it, the bar where you can click on
a list,
that's right. And then also at the in the paragraph on the homepage where it says, please join us, it talks about the courses. And if you click on there, it'll take you into the 2009.
Okay, the list on the left side, what would they click on?
Courses.
Courses. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that'll get on 09. Mm-hmm. Fine. Thank you for that call. And we have another caller waiting on line number 2. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Yeah, hi. I was going to call in earlier when I realized that it was two women to one guy.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you even it up.
Steve is supporting me.
For a long time, I didn't hear about, David didn't have a chance to talk.
I think this is someone who knows.
I think we know this person.
Yeah. Are there two Canadians listed there? Or is two Canadians? I know there's one. The accent, the women?
Kathleen, you are Canadian. Proudly Canadian.
I'm dual, actually.
Are you a dual citizen?
Yes, I am.
Oh, Mexican, too.
I'm proud of both.
Canadian and U.S.
All right.
Okay, so the other one is sort of like a Canadian accent, but I guess what happened. Okay.
Debbie, are you Canadian?
I am not. I from Rochester, New York, kind of across the Lake Ontario from Canada, so maybe
Northern
something
US.
Drifted across. Yeah,
it couldn't have been my New Jersey accent either.
It could have been the association with the director. Maybe that's what happened.
That's right.
David's pretty modest about his contribution in the environmental course. The content that he developed certainly could have stood at a course by itself. I mean, in depth, lots of material, and went on and on. So, I mean, top notch. So
you did take that course?
Study group.
I think I was there.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
I think you were too.
Thank you for.
So he needs an accolade and some extra money. So anyway. Well,
thanks for giving that. Appreciate the call.
I think we should point out that there is no charge associated with study groups.
There is no fee for. Okay.
And I didn't get paid either.
Yeah. Okay.
So. They're member led. Mm-hmm.
Those are the study groups at Ali, and we have another caller waiting on our line number 3. Others may call us at 333-9455 or 1-800-222-9455. Line 3, you're on the air.
Hi. I don't really have a question. I've been a member of Ali since the very beginning, and I just wanted to let your listeners know that there are lots and lots of us out here who are very, very enthusiastic Ali members and can't wait for the fall courses to start. I was interested to hear Steve's description of his experience as an instructor, and I thought maybe it would be interesting for your listening audience to hear where the instructors come from. I know most of them come from the university, but we also have instructors from elsewhere, and that I think is an important aspect of Ali, this community-wide aspect, and the instructors fit that description as well. If you could talk about that a bit. And in the meantime, go Ollie.
Well, thank you. Appreciate your call. Thank
well,
you
I'll start off. I think Kathleen is looking for affiliations. Many from many different parts of this university, but also from Parkland College, from Lakeland College.
Lakeland, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know of others, but
We have actually someone coming from the Red Cross who's going to teach humanity in the midst of war, bringing people in to talk about the what they do in international conflicts.
So your expertise doesn't have to be academic; it can be
right
professional in other ways.
I was thinking of that book that's popular now called Shop Class for Soulcraft, about a person who works on motorcycles but has a PhD in philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And the book he wrote about that experience. We might need to do something at Ollie along those lines. People who have practical knowledge to share that others might really want to learn about.
Well, another certainly are Mike Reed and David Skadden and Alethea Taylor, who lead the Tai Chi course.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So their expertise comes – the expertise of the instructors comes from a variety of directions.
What, is it too late for people to become members and take courses in the fall?
Not at all. In fact, the courses start on September the 14th,
okay.
So they have time. And there are openings in a lot of really good courses. We've got a couple of lunchtime lectures coming up. So, no, absolutely, we would love to have
them. What are some of the courses offered this fall?
Oh, all right. Let's get our list out.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you, David.
First of all, how many are we talking about?
19.
19.
That I know.
And
19
different courses.
In the first semester, it was 11. So we've virtually
every
doubled
semester it's,
the number of courses.
Yeah. And the reason we did that is because we have so many more members now, and we needed to have space. So African American Sacred Music. Willie Somerville, legend.
Of non-university people.
Yep, legend.
Legend, absolutely.
In Champaign-Urbana. And he taught this course, actually, before, and I took it, and it was wonderful fun. And we sing together. He teaches us. And then we went to sing at the Canaan Church and had a wonderful time there.
And you assure me you don't have to really have a great voice.
That's what Willie tells us. Willie can make anybody
anyone
sing.
Can sing. Right.
We have archaeology at the National Historic Landmark Site of New Philadelphia, Illinois. We have contemporary issues in international security, which is being taught by a team of university scholars covering things such as terrorism, Russia, NATO, Afghanistan. That's going to be a fascinating course. There are no courses that aren't fascinating. Astronomy. David Leake is going to do that one.
From Parkland.
From Parkland. Economic policy issues and some pretty weird stuff. That course
is a title. And that really is the title.
And that is full. That's another faculty team taught course. Europe's Heartland, the Palatinate. That's the one that we mentioned. Exploring Architecture, a retired architecture professor. How do we know what we know? We have someone coming to talk about physics. I met with him. He's a fascinating,
and
really
recently
interesting.
Moved to the community.
Actually, he's here for 6 months.
They sort of split, but definitely not someone who
teaches in California.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Human reproduction, which is actually more about the future of our species rather than reproduction. So we talk about the effect of global warming on reproduction, of HIV/AIDS, of the longevity of women and men, postmenopausal women, aging men.
What's the title of that again?
Human Reproduction.
I remember seeing on a copy machine once a little statement that said,
"Oh, you're coming." Yes.
There is pleasure in reproduction. go ahead.
Okay. Humanity in the Midst of War, I mentioned. Medical genetics, Tai Chi, that's unfortunately also full. The Brain in Society, another team-taught course by some of our psychology faculty. The films of Billy Wilder, being taught by Pat Gill. That is full.
And I'll be there.
There you go. Here's another one that's filled up. The Future of the United States, Critical Public Policy Issues.
I'll be there.
So will I.
You can tell some people signed up early. The Music of Stravinsky. He taught the music of Beethoven and was a very popular course.
And helped us with a study group what to listen for in music, which really grew out of that Beethoven class. We said, we really want to know more about
and he's
that.
A member.
Peter Michalow.
Yep, and he's a member, and he did that study group. Mm-hmm. Then we have World War I, why and was it really significant? And that's going to be an interesting course. And Danny Perino has agreed to do a one-time class after the end of World War I course on the music of World War I. We're going to have that at Clark Lindsay, which is fun. Then we're doing two courses that will go both in the fall and the spring. One is on theater and one is on dance. And we will be combining that with lectures. And then the class will go together to the performance at the Krannert Center. Oh, so that's what we're doing for the fall.
Now, you mentioned several courses that were full, but there were many that you mentioned that are not.
There are only four of the 19 that are full.
Okay. So people who would like to sign up, become a member of OLLI. Again, it's $125 for the first person in a family to join, $100 for the next person. And that provides you with one free course. After that, it's $25 a course. These are offered here at the University of Illinois, although for our listeners who are elsewhere, again, go to the website here and you'll find links to 124 other locations where there are similar courses. That's olli.illinois.edu.
And Steve,
yes?
I just want to reiterate that the course, you get one free course with that membership, but as a member, you can join any study group. That is absolutely
free.
As many as you wish.
Lunchtime lectures.
Lunchtime lectures are free, so there are lots of benefits.
And there are a few other benefits. Kathleen,
tell
us about some of those other benefits that are kind of surprised.
There's a 20% discount in the Lifetime Fitness Program at the University of Illinois. Our OLLI scholars have access to our university library. Unprecedented access, actually.
One of the great libraries in the world.
That's right. And we have a wonderful relationship with the university library. Marinda Hensley comes, and she teaches OLLI members to access the electronic collections and takes them on tours of the library. That's been a very successful thing. Our members are, as we said, free study groups, free lunchtime lectures.
Free bus service
mm-hmm. With the MTD. They get a university ID card. They get a university email account if they wish to have it, the illinois.edu. They can have that. And then, as I say, they have the ID card, which apparently one of our members told us gets discounts at some of the local stores.
Wow.
Yeah.
But we can't name them. Don't want to
but
have
can.
A run.
That's right. But if you call us, we'll tell you.
We're down to our last three or four minutes. What have we left out talking about OLLI? Dave?
One comment that I'd like to make about the cost of membership.
Yes.
I'm envisioning that some members are gone for the entire fall, or potential members, or the entire spring. And so there are half-year memberships as well.
Okay. That's helpful.
And spring only, yeah.
Spring only.
Okay. Right.
But not fall only.
Okay, spring only. All right. For people who may be traveling.
Yes.
All right. Good. Other things that we should mention about OLLI?
I'd like to
Dave, you have a whole list, don't you?
I did, and I won't get through it.
Our enthusiasm is great, as you can tell.
Kathleen or OLLI developed an invitation to join, a booklet, and asked some members about their feelings for OLLI, and I'd like to mention a few.
Sure.
They were asked to address three ideas. I joined OLLI because, Second, so far the best part has been blah, 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 or dot, dot, dot. And third is I'm looking forward to. So here's from Sally. I joined Ollie because I was so impressed with the concept. I looked up Ollie on the internet. Wow, I was hooked. So far, the best part has been the sense of exploration and knowledge gathering, plus the knowledge attained in Ollie classes. And I'm looking forward to this next semester. I had a hard time deciding on classes because everything looks so interesting.
Thank you, Dave. Let's sneak in one last phone call. Be quick. Line one, yes.
What are the hours of these courses?
What are the hours? Good question. Thank you.
They start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and depending on the course, we have a couple that are in the evening. We have our film classes in the evening, but they run from 9 o'clock, and the African-American Sacred Music is in the evening as well. But 9 o'clock to 5:30, essentially.
And hour-and-a-half courses, the 8-week courses. Mine went from 3:30 till 5, for example, but they're at hour-and-a-half intervals all throughout the day.
Right.
And a few at night, as you heard. Well, I want to thank our three guests. We've had Dave Sharp and Debbie Day and Kathleen Holden. Kathleen is the director of OLLI, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which began back just in 1999. So it spread all over.
Nationally began. We're only 3 years old.
We're in our third year here at the University of Illinois. Again, for people who would like more information, you may call by phone 217-244-9141 for more information about OLLI. They would send you a printed program, list of courses, and so forth. If you do not have access to the internet, if you do, go to OLLI, O-L-L-I, at illinois.edu. Fascinating program, opportunity for continuing education for folks over 50. Comes with a relatively small cost of $125 a year. For the first member of a family, then $100 a year. One free course included with that, with a lot of benefits, as we mentioned. It's held at the courses are taught at the Research Park at the University of Illinois on First Street, 2021 South First, in the Yahoo John Deere building. Their names are on the side of the building. So that's our program about OLLI. The course I'll be teaching is not this fall, but next spring, and it's an introduction to world religions. It's going to be taught in an odd way. We're going to have representatives of different faiths in little panels talking about issues, to where they agree and where they differ. Should be fun. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith. Next week, our guest will be Warren Cole Smith, author of the recently published A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church. Later in September, Professor Bob Cathy will be our guest talking about post-liberal theological perspective in Christianity. And September 20 is a special program with the director of the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, Director Ed Sherna will be our guest. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.